Good news and bad news, listeners. Berlin might be able to force thousands of fancy holiday flats back onto the rental market thanks to a good court ruling for once. The bad news is that Brandenburg is probably about to let Mr. Muskness clear a forest so that he can build a million electric cars. Plus, Tesla's robot coffee is shit. Hooray!
In Berlin's heart, where news is unveiled, Megan and Conrad with German tales. The German news, it's tough to bear.
Another episode of Megan's MegaCon. I'm Megan. I'm here in Berlin with Ex-Berliner Magazine and Conrad Werner. Hello, Conrad.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Have you noticed what it's doing outside?
Yes, I have, because I can still see it.
Thank you very much. We're recording this at 18:22.
Yeah.
It's still fucking light outside.
Yeah.
Made it through.
Well done, everyone. You can smell the spring in the air.
It is actually really, really nice.
The sort of freshness.
Berlin. It's gorgeous. We didn't really have a spring last year. I'm hoping this is not fake spring, but I feel like maybe it's not. I got my first text from my garden group, and they're turning the water on this weekend.
What does that mean?
Row 2 is turning the water on in the gardens. Okay. They've checked it out. It's not going to be frosty again.
And does that mean what happens when they turn the water on? Is there a sort of ceremony?
I don't know, because I'm not on Strange 2. So okay. I'm never really there for it. But yeah, they probably get together and like, they're always drinking at like 11.
Maybe they do slaughter a lamb or something.
Any kind of, God, I wish, that'd be great. We do have like a little summer fest. It's really nice.
Okay.
I can't wait to start that part of my year. See my wee pal, who's 80, she's my best friend.
All right, does
One
she?
Of my best friends.
She comes out of hibernation about this time.
Yeah. Right. We're going to have to start. But guess what? You horrifyingly just turned to me before we started and said, I have a lot to tell you, which I'm not excited about. But I have got new megas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No. And there's 330 mils.
Woohoo. Ooh, in a slim can.
Absolute cocktails. I have not seen these before. So you have a choice. This is an absolute cocktail. You can have pineapple fizz. Or berry fizz. I'm imagining they're going to be sweet muck, but this is part of the job. And
someone's got to do it.
Equally sort of not even nonplussed, minused, as someone said to me once, and I nearly died laughing. I'll buy either. And which one would you like?
Pineapple, please. Was that the one you wanted?
No. It's fine. Just take it.
Okay.
That's magic. Okay, so this is, they're in a tall can.
Yeah.
But still 330 mils. And what I like, they're sort of they look really 80s. They've got a little illustration of a cocktail shaker.
Yeah.
And it all looks kind of 80s graphic design.
I suppose the 80s aesthetic is back in now. I wouldn't know.
I think
know,
it's
you
all
know.
90s now, isn't it? I don't know.
No idea.
Who cares?
But it looks very nice. Is this essentially a pina colada? It says pineapple fizz.
I don't know, because the pina colada has also got coconut in it, hasn't it?
Oh, has it? Oh,
ooh,
I don't know.
Stop putting coconut in a mega. That's going to... Maybe. I don't know. I don't mind a pina colada. But you could have the water, coconut water, couldn't you?
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Mine's got strawberries on it, which I'm very anxious about. Huh. Oh, God, can I smell yours from the sweetness?
Oh, yeah, it's very sweet. Oh dear, but it's very nice. I like pineapple, big pineapple fan, so I can taste the sunbeams.
I can taste fuck all. This is not good. Well, I knew I wasn't gonna like it, because I don't like the berry kind of ones or any sweet ones.
Is it like a fruits of the forest thing?
It's exactly like a fruits of the forest. I really like a fruits of the forest yogurt. And this is what this tastes like, that flavor, but without the creamy deliciousness, and instead water. And then underneath the water, vodka.
Just lurking underneath the water.
I can sort of tell what they wanted to do, which is make like a little spritzer or a seltzer.
Anyway. Well, maybe they're expecting you to pour it out into a glass and put ice in it or something.
Yeah, well, then they should have manufactured a mega can, should they? and put okay. like weird 80s writing and Sylda in a Späti in Kreuzberg.
Yeah.
That's a different...
I know. Anyway, we've got a lot to get through here. Oh, God. So...
You have a lot to tell me. Right. Let's begin.
So, well, we'll do the easy one first. So, a couple of weeks ago, the higher administrative court finally decided... This is good news. Oh. We'll have the good news first. That the city of Berlin is allowed to reconvert holiday apartments back into rental apartments, even if they were established as holiday apartments before 2014, which is when they brought in the law.
Uh-huh.
There's something called the Zweckentfremdungsgesetz, sort of misappropriation law, brought in Berlin 2014.
Okay, yes.
And
to make something foreign from its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, German.
Yeah. So,
I'm so glad I learned you.
So the purpose of homes is for people to live in, right?
But this is easy, yes. Yes.
But some people have been using them for other purposes, such as renting them out on Airbnb for quite a lot of money. And now, well, you can do that, but you have to apply for a permit. It's fine if you're just renting out, you know, a room in your house, or if you're going away for a week and you're renting out your apartment, that's fine. But what's not so fine is if you buy a whole building and then put the whole building on Airbnb.
And I've definitely seen buildings around that are that.
Yeah. So if you do that, then you have to apply for some kind of permit, and the local district council can decide whether to give you that permit or not, and it costs money, the permit. So this law was brought in 10 years ago, and the court there was a case of these. We're talking about within the ring, I should make clear, not the whole of Berlin, just inside the ring mainly.
Okay.
It's like the most desirable part, the most expensive part of Berlin. And yeah, so there was a case in Mitte of the Gorky apartments where they bought some flats. They bought like 27 flats.
I'm just going to Google this right now.
Gorky apartments, they bought 27 flats and turned them into 37 furnished luxury flats, which they rented out on a nightly or weekly basis, basically holiday places, and including two penthouses. Now, if you go on the Gorky apartments website.
If I do, yes, I will.
You'll see how much the penthouses costs. You can only get them for a minimum of 3 nights. And for 3 nights this is like a 200 square meter apartment, it costs about $4,000. That's for the penthouse. And then there's like the normal smaller apartments, you're looking at 200 or 300 a night.
I mean, these look nice. Dogs are large.
Mm.
Your second home in a home.
So what happened was in 2016, the landlord's permit ran out and they applied for a new permit, and the Berlin government or the local Mitte district council refused to give them a permit. And then the landlord took them to court, and this court case lasted 8 years.
Fuck me.
Because they were paying more appeals, and it went up to the Supreme Court.
And all this
court.
Time, Gorky has been able to, the Gorky apartments, they've been able to continue to...
rake it in.
Right.
These are on Weinberg. The Weinberg's big. It's a pretty nice bit of Berlin. And so they've been like raking it in all this time for 8 years, and they've been like keep having it appeals and then more appeals. Uh-huh. And they took it to the Federal Constitutional Court, which is the highest court in Germany. And the Federal Constitutional Court said, after sitting on it for a few months, said, actually, this has nothing to do with us. This has to be decided by the Berlin Administrative Court, who'd already decided on it. They kicked it back down. And so all this took 8 years. And then finally, a couple of weeks ago, the administrative court upheld its earlier decision and said, no, the Berlin government can, if it wants to, force landlords to turn holiday apartments back into rental apartments and put them on the market because of the situation in Berlin where there's just nowhere to live. I mean, it's like a terrible shortage of affordable housing. And this is a problem in the whole of Europe. Like, there's no city in Europe that doesn't have this problem, especially cities where you get a lot of tourists. It's a massive problem because it's just way more lucrative for landlords to put these on Airbnb or just put them on and rent them out. as holiday homes. And yeah, so most cities have laws like this now, but they're hard to enforce. So the EU has come up with a new framework, also voted on just 10 days ago, passed the European Parliament, which a large majority, I was told. And they said this now forces platforms like Airbnb and Booking.com to register everyone who, if you, so if you want one of the, if you want to rent your home out, you have to register. And now it is up to Airbnb to check that they comply with the local laws, which wasn't before the case. Before,
oh, fucking class.
So before, Airbnb just said, we have a register, but it's our register. And, but, you know, it's still, it was still up to the district council to police it.
Jack shit.
Yeah.
Apart from raking in whatever percentage they take out of all of these things.
So now Airbnb is liable for to check that people are complying with the local laws, which was not earlier the case. Earlier, it was like up to the district council to police everything. It took ages, and usually they couldn't do it because they just didn't have it. And the EU framework says that there has to, they have to make their data available to the local district council so they can check themselves as well. So,
so they can kind of go in and do, rather than having to police everything, like a great German, a Stichprobe, like a random test. They can go in and just like sort of see.
Yeah, no, no local council has the, that kind of staff, you know. That
no local council seems to have any ability to do anything at the moment. Yeah.
So,
in Berlin, let alone fucking chase up Airbnb's stuff.
Yeah.
This is great.
So according to Stephanie Remlinger.
Just see people listening to this and like the situation is so desperate in Berlin. Like people hearing this news and like going and taking their documents and their Schufa forms and just going to queue at the Gorky apartments already. Like like it's a fucking Taylor Swift concert or something.
Yeah.
They are really nice apartments, everyone. They look really lovely.
Oh yeah, they're really nice. So yeah, so apparently, according to the Berlin Tenants Association, you know, like the Mieterverein, it's called, the guy I spoke to estimates that maybe up to 10,000 apartments across Berlin could be affected by this and could be put back on the market because of this. That's also what Stephanie Remlinger, who is the mayor of Mitte, she is of the Green Party. She also said that this is like a massively important court verdict for us. And we are already, we already have 1,700 cases that we're going to re-examine now based on this precedent. And that's like each of those cases is like multiple apartments. That's just in Mitte. So, and she reckons like 2/3 of those 1,700 could be including apartments that would have to go back on the rental market. And yeah, rents. Did you know this? Rents, how fast rents have gone up in the last few years. It's quite startling.
Oh, says the homeowner here sitting here. Yeah, we're aware.
Well, because it was kind of...
No, that's my rent. I'm very lucky because I got in to my apartment in 2015.
Yeah.
And that was just before stuff went mental in Neukölln and Kreuzberg and stuff. Like
So during the pandemic, they kind of stagnated rental prices at about average. The average was 10 euros a square meter. Since then, they've gone up to 14 euros a square meter since the pandemic. That's just in the last 2 years, since 22. That's like 50% rise in 2 years.
In Berlin, there was the Mietendeckel for a while, which
which also helped. Obviously.
Which capped, literally the cap.
Yeah.
But then they, thanks to the CDU and FDP, who are funded hugely by the
property development.
Thank you.
Property developer industry.
Property thing. Anyway.
Another thing I didn't realize was that the construction, because everyone says, well, a lot of people say, well, we need to build more flats, you know, build more flats. But there's been like a massive stagnation in the construction industry because of inflation, because of the rise in material costs. So that there isn't the construction companies, A, they don't have the workers, and B, they don't have the money to pay for all the materials to build new flats. And so even and also new flats are just going to be expensive anyway. They're not going to be cheap new flats. Why would you build a cheap new flat? It wouldn't make you any money. You know, if you're going to build a flat, you want to build luxury flats.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So
no,
I didn't,
think this is, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, people want to have luxury flats, so maybe keep building them and stuff. But this seems to be like a step in a more, and I'm good that the EU is... And yeah. I don't want to learn anything more about this. Obviously, you've given me an overview. I don't want to hear. I just don't. We just have one fucking thing where I'm like, okay.
This is quite good.
Like a great idea.
No, it is mainly good news. And what's also interesting.
But if it frees up all these flats, and it sounds like if it's now the onus is on, well, first of all, if there's this legal thing of like, no, you can do it.
Yeah.
It's back and forth between these different courts. And then also, if you put it actually on the... companies. Oh, good. You've turned a light on. I was like, I'm really sleepy in here.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of dark.
Okay, cool. Because I have sort of seen these things like crop up. And the thing is, they're these short-term rental apartments and they're like a lot of different places. They look a little bit like student housing and stuff. And what I think they do is do these workarounds where... Because you actually have very, very good rights as a renter in Berlin, in Germany. Like 80% of people rent here and it's great. And you can do, you know, you really are, you've got a lot of rights. People are obviously like these Gorky people. And I feel a bit bad for these Gorky. You're like, they're just doing whatever else they're doing. We just happen to have, there's probably other, you know, equally. Anyway, people actually end up living in these apartments for longer term, maybe. I think that happens as well. Like people, they say they're kind of temporary or holiday, but people who are here actually working, stay in them for a bit long. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they probably stay looking for a place to live, and then they end up staying for 3 months in the same holiday home, which just costs
so
them a fortune.
So they're profiting hugely from the problem that they are
helping
you
to
know,
create. Yeah.
Yeah. Like hotels serve a specific purpose. If someone has to stay in a hotel for 3 months, it's not really because there's a lack of hotel room, you know. It's
yeah. No, I mean, I just thought it was kind of an interesting court ruling, which just set a precedent, and it plays into that. And apparently, it's just a problem in the whole of Europe and in every most cities now. I mean, what's interesting about the European vote was that it did not divide the parties. Like it was every party sort of was on board with this because they already noticed that it is a problem.
Even the FDP, even the business bros.
Well, I didn't get into who I haven't checked out who voted. It's the European Parliament as well.
We said we weren't going to look any closer.
Yeah, don't look any closer.
It's cool.
Moving on.
But yeah, it is. I mean, fair fucks because it's fucking Airbnb, all their trendy nonsense, and it's just like. Yeah. In the cities, it just does. It does. If it's someone's house, fine. And I'm sure it allows people to have an extra income. And I know people that do that, and that's great.
Yeah. So according to Airbnb, 40% of their Berlin users are private people who are just renting out and they're supplementing their income. It's about 40%, they said.
Yeah. I'm still less than half Airbnb, fucking dicks. That's a lot. 60% are corporate fuckers.
Yeah. Like, quite a lot, yeah.
I don't, like, and surely that can be...
They seem proud of it because they put that in the statement and I asked them for a statement.
Yeah,
it's
a big
and that's
city.
They were like, 40%. It's loads. We're helping people. They're like, you know, it's like Amazon. They're like, we're helping small businesses, you know.
And are you?
Anyway...
But you're helping but also profiting off them, and that's fine. But don't tell me. I hate all this fucking millennial bullshit where they tell me that like it's something, and I think it started, do you know when like brands started talking to you in this like cutesy voice and the cutesy packaging on things? I'm a recyclable cup, fine, but then it allows like big corporations. Airbnb is a fucking massive corporation, and that's fine. Do business, but at least fucking don't shit in my hand and call it a Sunday. Sorry.
No, that is.
Do you know what I mean?
This perfecto Schlusswort.
Like, helping connections and bringing you closer to.
Oh yeah,
experience.
They all say that.
Absolute horse shit. It's just money. You're just the Hiltons. You're
talking...
just Trump. It's fine.
Just fuck.
At least Trump, like, to be fair, he just owns it, doesn't he? He's like, I'm a capitalist pig. Like, and that you can almost respect.
Yeah, buy us some steak knives.
Don't buy anything. Don't give him any money.
Or some trainers.
Yeah.
These ridiculous trainers. Anyway, talking of corporate.
Oh
fucks.
God, I didn't even mean to do that segue. I forgot what was coming up because I had half a mega and you gave me good news, and now we have to get into the absolute squelching cesspit that is Elon Musk and his Tesla fucking bullshit.
Yeah, so today I went to visit the Tesla Gigafactory.
Good God.
In Grünheide,
yeah,
outside Berlin.
A lovely spot.
Yeah, not quite as lovely anymore because there's a massive factory in it. And you may have heard that Musk and Tesla want to essentially double the size of this factory. It's already extremely big. Now
I've been to Grünheide a couple of times because our lovely friend has a thing there and it's really nice. But how big, where is the factory in relation to the little, very, very picturesque town?
It's about 2 kilometers from the town itself. It's by a train station called Fangschleuse.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I know that place.
You know Fangschleuse?
I do know Fangschleuse. We used to go mushroom picking there.
Ah, well.
It's really green and foresty and nice.
Well, I don't know when you went there.
But, not anymore. That's where it was. Oh, no, not Fangschleuse.
So not any.
Beautiful woods.
Yeah. So the woods near the Tesla factory are now being occupied by the brave people that
our consciences.
By our consciences.
By the people that we should be going out and kissing the ground they walk on, yeah.
Yeah. So I went to visit the protest camp, which has been there for 2 weeks now, because to protest against Tesla's plans to cut down that bit of forest and double the size of the factory, his aim is to produce a million electric cars a year in that factory. I can't really get my head around that. A million electric cars a year they want to put. Anyway, and there is a big issue with the water for the local area. So in Tesla's contract, they have a thing saying that the authority has to provide them with so much water, which is like a lot. Obviously, they need a lot of water. And that's a big issue. And there's worries about, because they have a lot of lithium and the potential for destroying the environment them is, yeah, you can imagine. I mean, there's a lot of biodiversity.
It may be time for us to realize that Elon Musk is not going to solve the environmental crisis for us.
No. I mean, it's a bit different from the, you know, Hambacher Forest and all the, you know, what we were talking about a couple of years ago about the coal mines that are being extended. This is sort of an electric car thing, but
it's the new version of this. It's the 2024 version of that. And again,
I went to visit this camp today, and it's pretty amazing what they've set up in 2 weeks, because I didn't really realize what they do. They have these tree houses, they call them tree houses, but essentially they build a shed on the ground and then haul it up with pulleys between the trees. Tie it to the trees and they pull it up. They build this shed on the ground. Like, it's really like the engineering that goes into it. They build a sort of garden shed.
Right.
and then attach it to two trees and then haul it up. And they have this sort of tree protection thing. These things are like 20, 30 meters off the ground. Ooh. And they live there. And so they had a... So it's... I'm not really quite clear on it. They had a permit to do this protest until tomorrow, which is March 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So they are preparing this weekend to be forcibly cleared by the police. So we might have a proper scenes this weekend if the police decide to try and clear them out.
And why can't they live in the woods?
Well, because
the
woods are currently owned by the state of Brandenburg, but Tesla wants to buy them to cut them down and extend the factory. And yeah, so that's a big issue. And the thing about it is that they had a vote on it. The local area had a vote on it.
I'm glad I've got this disgusting strawberry juice vodka water.
So there's a huge... So it's not just the protesters that are against it. Mm-hmm. The locals are also against it. They had a vote on it. 62% voted against the extension.
Wow.
In the Grünheide area.
Because this is also kind of the argument, like, it's going to be great for the local area. I remember when this started, it's going to be loads of jobs. And I'm sure it does provide jobs and things, but...
Well, I can give you some numbers.
That's 62 fucking percent. Like, that's a big... That's a...
So the population of Grünheide is about 8,000. The place employs something like... currently employs 12,000, according to local...
Fuck me!
12,000 people. I mean, it's a lot of people working there. Most of them, it has to be said, don't live in Grünheide.
No.
A lot of people... I saw a lot of Polish people... A lot of people come from Berlin. So like, it's not really... So that's the kind of
thing. If you need 12,000 workers or potentially 24,000, not everyone in Grünheide is just going to down whatever... Like,
no.
I'm sure there's some people looking for that kind of work, but it's a specific thing. It's not like you've created like a, I don't know, like some kind of big like mall or, you know, something like that where there's lots of different, you could work in this kind of shop or you could have a food stall or you can also have kindergartens in there and it's a, like, you either want to work in electric cars or have those skills or you don't.
Yeah.
And like, of those 8,000 people in Grünheide, like, how many is it going to be and like, who's going to want to, like, can people even afford if they're working in the factory to have apartments there and then spend their money locally?
Yeah, so it's the politics is a bit complicated. Basically, the Landesregierung of Brandenburg is all in favor, and that is SPD and Greens currently.
And why Greens?
Yeah, because it's all like, oh, the economy, and we're gonna build.
Please,
this thing.
Please, be voting for us. Don't actually kill us with pitchforks.
In fact, every party in the Brandenburg Landtag, Brandenburg State Parliament, is in favour, except for the AfD. They have come out against the Tesla extension.
Interesting.
So there's this weird alliance between climate activists, local citizens of Grünheide, and the AfD. Now, there was a big protest last weekend where, according to some local media, I don't know exactly, but there were some fights breaking out with among protesters because there were, like, some of them were outer Norman and some of them were neo-Nazis.
Oh God, that's tough.
And
that's really
like...
tough.
So there's like, you know, there was like a kind of, there was a lot of tension, and the Citizens Initiative, which is mainly left-wing green type people, a lot of conservationists, a lot of scientists, a lot of other local politicians, they're very clearly against the AfD and resent the fact that the AfD have come in and come out against this.
Why? Is it because it's like a popular...
Yeah, so they say that it's opportunism, that they say that the AfD are just, you know, going which way the wind blows, and they know that it's something that will piss people off.
Yeah, okay.
And they know it's against the local, the Brandenburg state government, and they know that they can say, and anyway, we hate electric cars.
Wow, so they get to play both cards.
And they can say, oh, by the way, the people working in these factories are mainly Polish people and foreign workers or Berliners. So it's like plays into that narrative of like,
of Brandenburg. Like, this isn't.
So that's the AfD argument. The obviously the local, the protesters in the trees have like hate this. Like, I went to speak to some of the people there, and like, you know, they I would say that the...
And how many people roughly are there in the trees?
About 100 apparently. Quite a lot.
Send them out like a slab of megas. Do they like megas? And it's probably not. It's probably really... Megas probably terrible for the environment.
It's really beautifully organized, I have to say. They're very... They had it when I got there this morning. They were having a plenary, and they had a big meeting where they were having a to-do list about how they're preparing for the police coming perhaps at the weekend.
German eco warriors. There's a bunch of... We can be... Yeah, that's amazing.
They were a little bit... And they obviously bristled when I asked the spokesperson, you know, how does it feel to be on the same side as the AfD? And they said, we are not on the same side of the AfD. AfD are racist and transphobic and sexist and everything. And we resent the fact that they are even in on this. I did speak to the local AfD Landtagsabgeordnete,
mm-hmm.
who talked about, She mainly talked about the effect on local schools because...
Think of the children. Yeah. Fuck off.
So the Fangschleuser... it was mainly to do with the Bahnhof. So apparently...
It's so weird that I know exactly where you are. Like, I know that fucking Bahnhof. And...
And it's like quite a pretty little place.
It's one of those wonderful, like, this is what happened in Ireland. They ripped up all the railways, so we don't have any, but you can see the old stations, like, from what I remember, unless I'm misremembering, like, one of those ones where it's not really like a station or anything. It's just kind of like a track and then two kind of platforms. Yeah. And it's just.
And you have to stand back because most trains don't stop there. So you've got these massive trains steaming through. Yeah. And it sort of says, warns you to watch out when trains go through. Anyway. So she said that they want, because apparently they want to take out this train station and move it closer to the factory. That's part of the what they're applying for, what Tesla are applying for, is to move this station closer to the factory. And that is not good for the local schools because there's that train station is used by about 800 school children, apparently, at the moment. So that is like another detail. Yeah, so it's like kind of a big thing going on there.
That's
it's got a lot happening.
That is a lot.
And it's all going to be, might be decided this weekend. So the mayor of Grünheide, who is also in favor, who's independent, there is a meeting going on actually this evening in which
62% of your constituents.
Yeah, and that's not a big, and this will be a mayor. He's been mayor for 20 years and he'll know all his constituents.
Yeah.
There's only like 8,000 people, you know, so, and he may well be ousted now. The AfD are trying to oust him, essentially. That's what's sort of politically.
He's just an independent lad. He is obviously like Grünheide's
golden
boy.
He's also former Stasi, should mention.
How many layers are this Grünheide onion are there going to be?
So I Googled him, and the first thing that came up was this story from 2019 where it was revealed that he was an informant for the Stasi. He managed to survive that scandal, but I don't think it helped him, put it that way.
And the AfD aren't, like... stupid in this regard, like obviously all of their ideas are dumb and stupid, but like they're like the polling really high in Brandenburg particularly,
but they know how to, you know, they know how to play local issues
exactly, and so they can sweep in and be like, oh, this ecstasy lad wants all of these Berlin Polish people to come and block your kids' way to school with electric cars.
Yeah.
Oh.
And let's not forget, Elon Musk tweeted his support for the AfD.
Elon Musk is a literal fascist now. Like, it's no longer kind of, like, obviously all these tech bros are super right, like, wing, like that's just so...
Yeah.
There's all these tweets that, and he said something like, did he retweet an AfD tweet, which was about...
He basically said that AfD is right about immigrants. It's what he tweeted. He said that the AfD in Germany is a good party because they're against immigration.
Wow.
I haven't got the actual tweet in front of me, but
of one where he was like, I'll something about the German government were helping fund like people saving the lives of people drowning in the Mediterranean or drowning and trying to get to Europe. And he tweeted like, are the German people aware of this? Didn't the foreign... ministry be like, yeah, it's called saving lives or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think we had an episode that we talked about this.
We might have done, yeah.
I'm quite drunk on my horrible berry water.
What I haven't talked about is the arson attack.
Yes, it was in flames, old Tesla.
So, no, hang on. It wasn't in flames. What happened was...
It was in flames. Get your news here. Was it not in flames?
No.
Oh, but that's arson,
they set fire to a pylon and like a thing, and it cut off the electricity to the Tesla factory for a couple of days, so they couldn't make any cars for a couple of days.
Oh.
That's what happened.
Okay, sorry.
But it caused a lot of... problems because now everyone, especially locals, were saying, "Oh, was this something to do with this camp? You know, where they were the in the forest, because they looked like the same type of people because it was Links Extremisten. It was a local group claimed responsibility for it. Something volcano. Some group claimed responsibility, but the camp says it had nothing to do with us. The people do it at the time. That we were peaceful protesters." But obviously, in the popular imagination, it looks like they were, you know, they're the same kind of people. Mm. So there was a little bit of negativity.
Like the left is like, or these eco protesters have gone too far, like the Klimakleber and stuff like that. Which,
so
I mean, I don't know. I do think it is something we need to tread carefully with.
And the Bürgerinitiative said that the arson attack was really unhelpful. It made things worse for us because it made us, you know, we reject any kind of violence. And
I do want to be clear though, it's not violence if it's this is the other insane thing that happens, where violence on the right is against people, and then violence on the left is in. The vast majority of cases against property or things like this, or shutting down a coal plant a coal mine for a few days or whatever. So not violence. Was anyone hurt?
No, they weren't hurt, but it wasn't just the factory that was affected. A few hundred homes also lost power.
Exactly.
So it
once
was...
again, what I just want to be fair. Like it's bad and it's annoying, and I'm not saying that it's morally justified. But I think this idea where we start talking about equating violence and Linksradikalen, and I don't know.
Yeah, obviously it's not the same as, you know, killing someone.
Well, is it violence?
Yeah. Well, it's...
No, it's property damage. It's civil disobedience. And I think we can say that if we start just...
Yeah. but it has made the case for this... Because these protesters were like, we've applied for an extension... And now there's less. It's now less likely that those protesters will be able to. It's probably going to kick off this weekend, because
those waters have been muddied, and I totally understand that. I'm not disputing that.
Anyway, so that's basically.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. It's very hard for me to have a very black and white opinion that I'm going to shout about now while I'm in my cups. What did you, so this is all kind of happening. What about the people who are actually, is this factory doing anything good? Is it providing nice work for people? Is it?
No, there have been some accidents in the factory.
Of course, and
a lot of trade unions and Linke Party have been saying, you know, we need to investigate what the conditions.
And are the Tesla workers like heavily unionized?
I went past there and I saw they were doing elections for a works council.
Okay.
I know that IGM was getting involved in trying to unionize them. I think they are unionizing, but I did notice when I went on a shuttle bus with some of the workers to the factory. I did notice that most of them weren't German. So, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, they can still unionize, but.
Barriers to this, exactly. Yeah. And also, you never know how these employment contracts... Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm speculating, but it would make sense to me that a fascist, megalomaniac, capitalist nutjob bent on taking us into space and also poisoning our waters is maybe not the best employer. I don't know. So what was the bus like? So because I have seen these buses, because when I go to Prague on the bus, obviously going to Prague on the train is beautiful. But if I can just do a shout out to the Czech bus company, Regiojet, which is my fucking favorite thing. Honestly, really cheap and wonderful. They have double-decker buses. And if you get the first seats on the double-decker bus, like upstairs, it's like you're in business class. They even have little screens.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And then you get some Czech beer. No, they don't give you beer.
Oh, yeah.
They say they give you
beer.
Coffee. I've never seen... No, you can't buy beer. You have to bring your own beer, but it's lovely. Anyway, I go there from Sudkreuz, and that seems to be where some of the Tesla buses drop people off.
Okay.
And it's this weird kind of not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory vibes, because no one ever saw the workers coming in and out, but it is just like these big, dark buses roll in and lots of people get off wearing like branded Tesla merch.
Hmm.
I do think I remember seeing one or two having a mega can on their fire oven, and I was like, hello.
Okay. Yeah.
So oh, what was the vibe like?
On the bus?
Yeah.
Right, it was just loads of people going to work. So they got off at Fangschleuser and there's a shuttle bus that takes them to the factory.
Oh, you were going from there?
Yeah.
There's a bus that takes them to Sudkoi. It's like all that way.
No. The bus takes them from Fangschleuser.
Well, what are these buses coming into Sudkoi then?
Oh, I don't know.
Because they're definitely Tesla. Like, they're just those workers' buses.
I don't know. I mean, I guess the.
I will do this. I thought you'd been on the whole thing.
No, I only went on the. I went around the corner. Anyway, so I had a small. It wasn't really an experience, but I went to the reception because I'd heard that on Thursdays they have a Bürger Dialog, so a citizens' dialogue day. For 2 hours, like a question and answer session where I guess local people can come and ask questions. And so I thought,
really doing something. If you have to have in your institution some period of the time.
Yeah.
Can come and ask you questions.
So I think that what I think is that Tesla is a massive American company, obviously, and they are not used to the way things work in Germany. And if you build a massive factory in the middle of somewhere in America, then I think everything, it's just like capitalism. Yeah, he's fine. But in Germany, you have to sort of do something a little bit, reach out to the community a little bit. And so they had this like Bürger Dialog, and I went there to the reception. I said, oh, I heard there's a Bürger Dialog coming up. And the receptionist like typed into a computer and looked. And she said, oh, yeah, it's at 3:30. And I said, okay, I'll just wait here. And then 5 minutes later, a man came out and he said, oh, I heard you were here for the Bürger Dialog. And I said, yeah. And I hadn't said I was a journalist or anything. And he said, oh, it's cancelled today.
Ah.
I said, why? And then he said, we have no information on why it has been cancelled.
And what kind of room are you sitting in? Because I'm picturing like peak dystopia kind of. Is it just like a normal?
No, there was a Tesla car there, and there was someone working on a laptop, and there was a coffee machine, and it was the reception area.
Okay, so like
It wasn't very comfortable, I have to say, as reception areas go, and the coffee. So there was this coffee machine where you had to. You had to like scan a QR code to order a coffee from the coffee machine. There was a robot. So you had to, there was like a coffee machine. He said, if you want a coffee, scan this QR code. And then you scan the QR code. And there's not very good reception out in Brandenburg. But after a while, I got
all reception in Fangschleuser, I can tell you. Yeah.
So after a while, I got the menu and then I clicked on a coffee, and then the robot sprang into life. There was like a robot arm sprang into life and gave me a coffee through a glass wall.
Wow. And just like a vending machine, but much less.
But much
efficient.
Less.
Great.
But really inefficient vending machine.
Okay.
Which involves smartphones.
And probably cookies, so they know you've been there.
So... Yeah, also, yeah, I had to give my name. On the plus side, the coffee was free. On the minus side, it was terrible.
Oh,
I mean, really, if a robot gives you coffee, you'd expect at least they'd have good coffee. It was awful coffee, right?
What?
Like, genuinely, okay. I mean, terrible coffee.
Poison the water, but like at least, this is the thing. Yeah. But this was supposed to be the fucking promise. And I think that's such a good... metaphor, like the promise of capitalism. Okay, we're gonna have to maybe sacrifice a bit of this, that and the other, but you'll have stability and prosperity and a robot will serve you coffee. And you're like, well, no, because we've probably got people on shit working contracts with shit working conditions and fucking shit coffee. No. And Elon Musk just goes and fannies about being an absolute fascist wank bag, being super anti-Semitic and mental. Like, I just... No! I say, no, thank you very much. Teslas aren't even that fucking nice.
No.
I like a nice car.
Yeah.
You know, there's a function in them. I was in one in the summer, and there's a function in them where you... Because, so first of all, there's... Have you ever been in a... Have you driven a Tesla? I would quite like to drive a Tesla.
I've driven an electric car, but not a Tesla.
Yeah, some miles cars. So I do have the miles thing, even though it's very expensive. They have Teslas. Like, I've never seen one close to me, but I will...
Oh, yeah, maybe I have had a Tesla. I thought I just had an electric Volkswagen, but maybe it wasn't. Because they... Nothing in it. Everything works through this sort of iPad. On
there's this huge iPad, which I actually which I actually think is quite dangerous because, like,
you're just looking at a big screen.
You're looking. It's so hard. If you've ever sat in a pub with a fucking TV, you can't focus on anything but the TV. So it's really dangerous. And then there's this thing where you can like pretend, like it'll do fart noises, and you can have it from different parts of the car and pretend like your guests in the car are farting. I'm like, this is what we've sacrificed. And it's just cheap and I don't like them at all. And they're really expensive. Like, this is... That is a hollow... We have tried to believe in this promise of electric cars to solve. And everyone told us it was going to be a problem. And it's just not. It's just a shit thing with fart noises that's ruining Fangschleuse for us all.
And taking away and exploiting the developing world as well.
We haven't even got into the whole lithium thing. Like, I kind of don't know how that works, and I'm sort of refusing to learn, because I know it's just an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, God. So.
All right. Well.
That was my trip to Grünheide today. Pretty much all of it. I described most of it. Yeah.
That was just today. God, you've packed a lot in. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for going so I didn't have to. I don't want to go back there now.
I tried to find out if there's some kind of open day or a tour or anything. No. And apparently...
Let's get a golden ticket for that. This is real Willy Wonka shit.
A lot of journalists have told me that it's almost impossible to ever get a statement from Tesla. They just never speak to the press. They just don't have a press department.
This is not a normal company. No. This is a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's bad.
They just don't answer any press requests.
They're bad. Like, some things I understand, like the political situation and how you deal with Tesla is incredibly complicated, but I don't think the Tesla thing is very complicated. Mm. It's bad and it's run by a fascist.
I might go back next Thursday to see if they're going to have another citizens dialogue, and it will also be cancelled.
Please just go every Thursday. I have a really full timetable on Thursdays, but if any Thursday I'm ever free, we could go.
Because it was just really odd the way that I said, oh, is there a thing? And they said, yeah, it's definitely happening. And then 5 minutes later, I said, no, actually,
that's canceled. So bizarre.
It's cancelled today. Okay. Well, that's all the news.
Well,
for another week.
How was your MegaCon?
Oh, I finished it ages ago.
Oh, yeah. You haven't taken a sip for ages.
It is really nice.
Oh, did you like it?
It's given me a lovely pineapple-y aftertaste buzz.
Oh, okay.
I'd recommend it. I mean...
Oh, okay. I wouldn't want to drink like five of
them. I wouldn't want to drink a lot of them. But the one is nice.
And I think... The problem with the berry fizz is, so I know some people of my friends really love the really, really sweet. Like, there's a JD berry one and like the Gordon's pink gin, those really sweet ones. But I think this one has tried to be like too classy. So it's like sweet, but also watery, like a seltzer. So I wouldn't even recommend it to those. I don't know.
It says on it, made with natural flavors. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I think this is supposed to be natural. Do you know what? It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
So that's our verdict on absolute.
Yeah, it's not that bad. And it's absolute. And I'm also drunk.
Yeah.
There's that. Okay.
Great.
Take care, everyone. If you're in Berlin, this is absolutely not a plug that I'm involved with. I just think it's nice. It's St. Patrick's Day on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of Irishy things happening. You can go to Babylon Kino. I don't know which one now, actually, of the Babylons. But just Google it. And there's like Irish music in film. And there's a particular film that I have no affiliation with, but I've seen it before. It's called North Circular, which is like a kind of journey. It has a lot about music and stuff as well through the North Circular Road in Dublin. And it was very, very beautiful.
I think.
And there's also some activism happening from Irish people living in Berlin that want to protest some stuff about Gaza.
It's Babylon Mitte on Saturday.
Saturday, go.
4 p.m. Irish music on screen.
Yeah.
I just Googled it quickly. Yeah. That's looks good.
Yeah.
The Camino Voyage.
I think it, yeah. Go see North Circular.
It's in Irish with English subtitles. There you go. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Any other Irish things happening?
No, I'm going to Ireland tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Conrad. Again, didn't want the news, but if I have to have it, I would always rather you deliver it to me.
Filtered through me and a cocktail.
Yes, those are the things that I need. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The German news, it's quite a test. With Megan's Mega, you're feeling refreshed. Ooh. Megan's Mega Can. German news in English with a cocktail can. Deutsche Nachrichten's in Düster und schwer. Down the Mega.
Defy the fear.
Yeah.
It's actually a. Quite a positive message to give to people.
So.
I like to think that we have quite a positive impact on our listeners.
I hope so.
Because we try and get them to defy the fear of listening to the news all day.
I mean, it's better than reading a German newspaper, surely.
I would definitely recommend listening to our podcast more than reading any German newspaper.
German newspapers barely have pictures. It's just a brick of text.
Oh, yes. And they seem to make a virtue of it. They think it's like so great to have no text.
Not like you Americans no with your fucking...
colour pictures.
Decadent pictures in your newspapers.
Yeah,
What's that, a crossword puzzle? Oh, no wonder you had Trump. Jesus Christ, everyone. Like, there's a middle ground.
You have to concentrate on the news. It's very important. You have to, like, keep it there.
Have a mega.
Give us a picture every now and then.
Just a wee picture, maybe a, you know,
yeah,
a diagram.